guys. Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We are back because we were off last week because I was driving across the country. But our weekly podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just trying to work out these technical kinks. We'll get into that a little bit later, but no, it's all good. Good to be back.
Ryan is on his laptop. So,
yep.
But yeah,
it's not ideal, but you know,
I'm in a new office.
It looks different, but it almost looks the same. It's like
our boxes.
Bright lighting. There's your packing boxes. There's a rig behind you. It's white and gray for the most part. I mean, it looks like you're still in Pittsburgh.
I have to have my bright lights. It's like a thing. It's like, you know, like going into like an office, like you need the bright lights to like be able to work. So one of the first things I did was hook up these lights because it just, you know,
did you mount them to the ceiling kind of like you did at the other place? Yeah.
So if I could move the camera up, you would be able to see that they're mounted with command strips. It's like,
and they did pretty well the last place.
Yeah. So if you guys on our YouTube, there's a video of me doing that little project, which is if you're looking to like fully light a room, especially if you're renting, I think the lights are like $40 and then the command strips you'll need is like another $10. It's the easiest way, because so many people buy like fluorescent lights, or even if you are like a homeowner, you have to do all the electrical work, or you have to hire an electrician to put in the lights. This is like so easy. It's about like a 15-minute process. It just makes things so much easier. Oh. And I have it hooked up to like the smart switch, so I can go, Alexa, turn off office lights. And you'll see. There, I got to turn off. Yeah. And Alexa, turn on office lights, and they'll turn back on.
Right? So, very nice.
Yeah. So cool. It's a cool little project. So check out the video. It's really cool. But yeah. So last week we weren't here because I moved across the country from Pittsburgh all the way to San Diego. So I'm in San Diego now. So it's actually only 5:30 here instead of 8:30 when we normally do the podcast, which I kind of like. It's like,
okay.
Sometimes I'm like, it's the end of the day and I'm tired. And then when we do the podcast and then obviously we game after, like I always sleep in the next day. So it's like, not that it's like a setback, but it's like, I know I'm sleeping in the next day. We're here. I can like probably get to bed at like my normal time, which is kind of nice.
So, all right, cool.
I kind of like that. But yeah.
The weather there compared to Pittsburgh, has it been pretty nice out there?
Yeah, it's been pretty nice for the most part. It was a little bit cloudy today, but back in Pittsburgh, it was snowing today from what I saw.
We had snow here yesterday. It was stupid.
And I'm wearing shorts right now, so I can't complain. But yeah, it's nice being in the office. But as I was saying, I drove across the country, which was it was actually really cool because there's so many things that you just don't see, right? You know, you fly and you miss miss Middle America for, you know, going to certain places. And I got to drive almost right by where you live, in Kansas, which was pretty cool. Kansas, the end of the day when I was driving through Kansas was actually pretty nice because the sun was setting and I was like, there's like these fields.
Well, there's nothing in the way, right? Like it's just flat out in Western Kansas. So
it was completely flat. I stayed in this town called Liberal, Kansas, which smells like manure. Because I think, U.S. Beef is headquartered there. And I thought Liberal was going to be like the small little town, but compared to the small little towns that I drove through, it was actually one of the bigger towns in that area. Yeah. Went through some really like one stoplight towns. It was kind of cool. It was really cool. And then the worst state out of all of them was New Mexico. It was like not like desert, but just like rocky desert. And I was on this one road, which was incredibly busy for like 6.5 hours. And the thing that was really bad about it was one of those things where it was just straight and you could see for miles. So you're like, this is going to suck for miles. Arizona was great. Arizona was beautiful. And then going into California was also cool. And I got to see when you cross from Yuma, Arizona into Yuma, Texas, or not Yuma, Yuma, Arizona into Yuma, California.
Yeah.
There's, if you're actually in like the desert, like there's sand dunes. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Cause I've never been anywhere where there's like legit sand dunes and,
yeah.
you know, besides like a beach, but it was like the actual, like I'm driving through the actual desert. So that was really, really
That's cool. That's kind
of
cool.
That was one of my, like, just, I've never seen anything like that. And then as you go through California, there's like massive solar arrays, which was pretty cool to see. And then also in Kansas too, there was massive wind farms.
Yeah, we got a lot of wind farms.
Yeah, and in when I was in California as well, there's some of those too. So it was really cool. I don't know if I would recommend it to anybody.
I mean, you drove it like essentially straight through 4 days in a row. Not like yeah. a crazy marathon one day thing. That's just nuts, but that's still a lot of driving. So
yeah, so it was total 4 days, three nights. We stayed in right outside of St. Louis, and then we stayed in Liberal, Kansas, and then we stayed in Flagstaff, Arizona, and then we made it to San Diego. So I'm here now in San Diego. I do have to say, I mean, you guys really didn't know how bad my old place was. I know I told Ryan about it, but it was really, really bad. It wasn't even just the whole setup that I had there. It was just like the place was just a really bad place. And it's nice now. So I have my own office now, which will hopefully allow me to be more productive, I would say, and just, you know, put out more content, put out more stuff, put out more reviews and all of that. But I did make a quick video for everybody going over the new office. Like, I'm sure, Ryan, you haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to go ahead and play it for you guys. If you guys are listening Sweet. Later on audio, skip the next 2 minutes and like 37 seconds, but go back to the YouTube video, or it's on Facebook. So you can watch it. So you can kind of see what the new office is like and how I plan to like evolve it and everything like that. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you guys. What is up, guys? This is a quick breakdown of the new office. For everybody who is listening to the podcast, first you walk in and we have our test system. I only have one test system running right now. And we have, of course, our monitor and keyboard and all of that. And then, of course, we have my main system right here. This is where I do all the work. This is where I'm sitting right now doing the podcast right here. The only thing that's kind of weird is I have all this light coming in, which might look weird in some videos. So I might have to figure all of that out. But the best part about the office, actually, before we get to the best part, I have my router and NAS and everything down here. I'm getting a cart, type deal, shelf cart thing that's going to go right here. I think it's going to go right here, although it might go over in the corner. It all depends, but all that stuff, and then these boxes right here that has stuff in them, that's all going to go in this sort of shelf cart thing that's going to be right here. Now, the best thing about the office is this massive closet that I have. It allows me to store everything. So everything, if you guys remember before, was in a whole bunch of shelves that you could see, and it was this way. I like it because everything's out of the way. So this is all review products right here, everything that we'll be reviewing. And then I have like my second test system, and then all of the bins that have stuff in them. Like this has like CPUs and CPU stuff. This is like SATA cables. This is network cables, memory. And then we have ones up there as well. On this side is just boxes and storage. So of course, graphics cards up top, motherboards, power supplies. This is all of the mouse pads that I use for product lays and stuff, they're there. More motherboards here, motherboards down there. We have our slider, we have a thing that I need to hang up, and then another desk thing for review. And then behind here is all of the stands and stuff like that, and then AIOs and some keyboards right there. So that is the office. Obviously it's evolving, but I just want to give you guys a little preview of everything. And of course this all came together because I moved across the country, but enjoy the rest of the podcast. All right. What did you think? What do you think?
I liked it. I like it. The closet is great. I think that'll be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it gives me more like physical room in the actual office, which I kind of like, because Yeah, it's kind of cool to have like those shelves with all the boxes, but it just eliminates space to to record and set up different scenes to shoot pictures and things like that. So I'm going to try to keep this, the actual main office space, as minimal as possible, just to have more room. And so hopefully that will do it.
But no, yeah, it looks like there's a lot of room. You do need you need that cart for your gear, because sitting on that carpet was like. But yeah, hey, you've been there a week. That's fine.
Yeah. So no, the cart's here. I got it today. I was thinking about putting it together, and then the reviews on Amazon were like, it takes like 3.5 hours to put together. I'm like,
holy cow.
Yeah, I'll do that over a couple of days. So, but yeah, no, I'm really excited. Like I said, it's, you know, the only thing that I see is these windows that are right here. I don't know if you guys remember, like if you watch any of our YouTube videos, behind me used to be a wall, and then I had RGB lighting on the back of my monitor. Now with there being light back there, it can just be a little tricky. I don't know if I'm going to get something to put across the windows. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Some blackout curtains or something, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see kind of how this all evolves. But like I said, I'm very happy to be here, and hopefully we can be more productive. My buddy Corey is in the chat. He says, what's up, guys? How was the move? We were just talking about it. Like I said, it was a long, basically 4 days, but made it all the way across the country. And we just showed a video of the office, the place that I'm sitting in right now. So, but yeah, guys, let's, since this is a tech podcast, this is not Bob's Life podcast. Let's jump into reviews this week. Also, if you guys want to follow along with, you know, what we're going to be talking about, we do have our show notes. They are linked in the description of the video, or the podcast. And you guys can go ahead and check them out. But, I finally got my review done of Intel's brand new flagship processor. This is their Core i9-11900K. And I'm sure by now most of you guys have heard, like, this is crap. This is a crap product. It's not great. It's, what is Intel doing? And there are some aspects of that where I would say, yeah, like, it's not the best. But at the same time, I don't think it's a horrible product. There's a lot of reasons why it's not a horrible product. The interesting thing about this is when we first started hearing about it is that the 11900 or the 1110, sorry, 1110 or the i9-10900K, they need to change this old naming because it's just...
Yes, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, so the i9-10900K, the last generation, that was a 10-core 20-thread processor. With the i9-11900K, it is going back down to an 8-core 16-thread processor. So you're actually eliminating 2 cores, which is kind of weird because ever since Ryzen, we've been increasing cores. We've just been increasing. And now we're moving down cores. Basically, the whole reason for that is because this processor uses Intel's new Cypress Cove CPU cores and their new Gen 12 Xe iGPU graphics. So there was basically in the 14-nanometer package, which they're still on. So we're on, I think there's 5 plus this 14 nanometer. There's just not enough room on the physical package for you know, say more cores. Yep. But what's interesting is that even with 8 cores and 16 threads, the processor isn't a bad processor. And you guys can go into the review because I'm not going to go through everything, obviously. It's not going to beat AMD in multi-core because it's only 8-core. Single thread, it's very good. It boosts up to 5.3 gigahertz, so very high single core boost. So a lot of single threaded things, it's going to do very well. That's also going to translate into good gaming performance. It's still hard to recommend this over a 10900K. If you know, like, say you already have the 10900K, there's absolutely no reason to upgrade to this, none whatsoever. You know, and like I said, if you're on Ryzen 3000 series, Ryzen 5000 series, those processors, especially in multi-core, are going to beat this processor as well. So it's not a bad, like, if you get this, you're not going to be necessarily disappointed, right? It's not like it's a dud. But at the same time, being the i9 flagship, it's really disappointing. What I said in my review is that when we see a new flagship from Intel, you know, it usually is at the top of our charts, and it's the new processor that everybody wants. And in this case, it's not. It's not at the top of our charts. It just doesn't feel like an i9 product to me at all. It feels more like a stopgap between the next thing. And the only real reason you would be upgrading is if you're like multiple generations behind, or you really want Gen 4 for
your storage.
Your storage. So the platform upgrades are actually quite good. So like Z590 motherboards, by default, you get Gen 4. So your top NVMe drive will get Gen 4 lanes through the CPU. Your PCI Express slot will be Gen 4, even though that's not the biggest deal right now. You get, by default, you get 2.5 gig LAN. A lot of the boards will have 10 gig LAN. And then you get USB 3.2 Gen 2 times 2 from the chipset. So those are some really nice platform upgrades, but the processor itself, it's not a flagship. It doesn't give me... it just doesn't feel like a flagship processor to me.
Yeah, for being at the top of their charts, as far as products go, just doesn't have that feeling that we're kind of accustomed to with Intel, right? It's always this, well, lately back and forth, like, hey, whoever releases the newest one is going to be on top, and we kind of expected them to be there, and just isn't the case. So
yeah, it really
that kind of stinks.
It really, besides single core, for the most part, it competes against the Ryzen 7 5800X. That's kind of what it competes with. But it's priced, I think, $20 cheaper than the 5900X. So it's just not there. It's just like, if I had the choice between Ryzen 5000 series and this, I would choose the Ryzen 5000 series. You're getting most of the platform stuff with X570 on the AMD side anyways, right? You're going to get Gen 4 across the board. You're going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2. It's not times 2, but it's still USB 3.2 Gen 2. Like, and the biggest thing is that so many of us are doing things that take advantage of multi-core. We're gaming and streaming at the same time on the same machine. We're video editing. We're photo editing. We have 1,000 Chrome windows open. Like, there are so many things that are going to take advantage of multi-core, and AMD is just better at multi-core when it comes to this processor. So like I said, it's not a bad, a lot of people said, oh, this is trash, it's garbage. It's not necessarily garbage, but it's not, if you have a choice, there's a better choice out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of really, that's what I think about it. You know, it's like their stopgap. And the thing that's a problem is it's very hard to recommend this because of the fact that the next generation we expect to be either 10 or 7 nanometer to bring so much more performance. And it's likely going to be a new socket with DDR5. So this socket is limited, right? So it's not even like if you get, a new motherboard now, like, it's not like you're going to be able to slot in a new processor down the line, you've been able to do with AMD and stuff like that. So it's very hard to recommend this to somebody now, that's the only thing. Check out the review. It is what it is. It's not horrible, but it's not great at the same time. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And then you had a review last week that I did want to cover because I rant and rave about lightweight gaming mice. I use them religiously since my first review of one when I thought they were stupid. And you took a look at HyperX's Pulsefire Haste, which is a lightweight gaming mouse. And you tell us what you thought about compared to, say, like a mouse that you were using previously.
Yeah, so I had been using the Corsair Harpoon. It's just kind of pretty, it's a pretty basic mouse to begin with. It's just got your standard thumb buttons, two left and right buttons, but it's not touted as a lightweight mouse, but it was actually pretty light compared to other standard mice. But the Pulsefire Haste is 59 grams, which I believe is the lightest mouse that we've looked at. It's amazing. So obviously there you can see, as Bob's showing there, a bunch of hexagon cutouts on the top of the body of the mouse, as well as a few on the left and right mouse button. That is just a huge weight savings. And then they also have those cutouts on the bottom. You can actually see through the mouse there to the box behind it. So yeah, super lightweight mouse. I love this thing. Right there at that angle, we've got just, you can kind of see the thumb buttons. It's a pretty basic mouse outside of the fact that it's lightweight, right? It doesn't have adjustable weights. It's just the lightweight 59 grams. Doesn't have a ton of buttons, but it does have our thumb buttons, which is very just nice to have. It's not super contoured or anything. If it weren't for the thumb buttons, it would be pretty much an ambidextrous mouse because it's the same shape, left side and right side. You do have a single RGB LED lighting zone, which is in the mouse wheel. There's no other lighting on the mouse. That's fine with me. It would have been cool to kind of maybe have the inner portion of the mouse glow, but again, you're just going to be adding a little bit of weight. Not that a single tiny little RGB LED in there is going to add much, but on the bottom there, we've got the four PTFE pads. This mouse actually comes with four replacement pads as well. So if you wear these out, over the course of the life of the mouse, you can swap those out, which is nice. Sometimes, you know, depending on your desk too, like you'll hit something or scuff them or go over something and scratch them. The other nice thing about this mouse, which you're showing there, are the grips that are optional. I went ahead and utilized the left and right side grips. So my thumb and like my ring finger are utilizing the grip, but I'm not using the left and right mouse button.
Do you know how much weight these add?
I don't, but they're pretty lightweight. I mean, they're like a foam rubber kind of, so they're a little squishy, but I think since they're made out of that foam material, it doesn't have as much density as a standard like rubber grip pad would. Gotcha. But they're very light. I mean, they may add a couple grams, so once you have them on there, it may be closer to like 60 something.
Yeah.
But this mouse is kind of slippery without the thumb grip and other side grip, in my opinion. The finish is, I don't want to say it has a texture. It's not glossy, but the plastic just doesn't have much grip. And I didn't really like the feel of this mouse at first. It just felt like it was sliding around in my hand.
Do these grips come with it by default, or do you have to buy them?
They come with it. Yep. So those grips come with the mouse. The feet, the extra feet come with the mouse as well. So I stuck the thumb and side grips on, and like it just transformed the feel of the mouse. I don't think I have any pictures of the grips on, but I do have them on, currently have them on there right now, and love it. It added so much more grip to the mouse. Compatible with HyperX's Ingenuity software, so you can adjust, you know, your standard DPI settings, buttons, create macros, adjust the lighting of the mouse wheel. Just really your standard.
How did you feel it about Ingenuity? How do you say Ingenuity?
Ingenuity.
Yeah. How do you feel about it being a Windows? You have to like get it from the Windows Store.
I already had it their HyperX the Quadcast microphone. So
yeah.
I've already kind of gone past that hurdle, but really, like, as long as you get it out of the store, that's the only time you have to interact with the store, and then it's on your machine, and
it
wasn't different. That big of a deal.
You know, it's like, we're not really used to
that. I'm still that download the EXE.
Yeah, a lot of people are really weird about using the Windows Store, you know.
So. Yeah, I'm one of them.
Sensor is an optical sensor.
Yeah, it's an optical sensor. It's a PixArt PAW 3335. So I mean, PixArt is pretty standard in just about every mouse out there gaming related. So you've got their reliability and just kind of their reputation going along with it. Super high mouse click lifetime as well. There's 60 million clicks on the left and right buttons, which is a little higher. Most are like 50 million.
Yeah.
So that extra 10 is kind of nice over the life of it. And they're actually dustproof switches, which I think is pretty important in this design because you've got the open body and the potential for dust and just debris and hair and whatever's, you know, floating around getting in there. And those dust-free switches are going to help them from getting gunked up and, you know, affect your gameplay. So pretty affordable as well, $49.99. So $50 mouse. I gave it a 10 out of 10 and recommend it. I really didn't, you know, find any flaws.
One thing I really noticed is that these new mice, they're really made for performance. And that's what, like, we see these big mice and they're cool and they have all these buttons. They're like these buttons that you probably don't even use. Whereas, like, these feel very stripped down and they're like, they're made for performance. They're made for long gaming sessions. They only have the buttons that you're going to need, especially like these are more designed for FPS. Like, that's the thing I love about them. They're just what it is. It's like, I don't know if you ever saw the, what's that movie? Ford versus Ferrari, where they like would take the Ford car and they would strip everything out of it to make it go faster. It's kind of like the same thing. It's like, they've taken all the crap that you don't need and you just have just what you need for performance. And I think that's why I love these lightweight gaming mice. They're just, and if you are like, even if you're not like a professional gamer, but if you're serious about gaming and you like winning, I think that you'll really appreciate these mice. And I do have to say that the couple times that we did game and Ryan was using this mouse, he was better during those sessions. So I'm not going to say how good he's going to do tonight or anything, but he was better.
So, I mean, I've moved over to this mouse as my daily driver on this PC. I still have the Harpoon sitting here, but I have not plugged it in since I've used this one.
That's the big thing. It's like, if it becomes your main mouse after reviewing it, that means that it's good. I always say that about keyboards, and I say that about mice. Like, if it replaces my main mouse, then it's good.
So, it also has the super lightweight mouse cord. Flexible, lightweight, which is kind of pretty standard now on at least the lightweight mice. I think we'll see it more often in other varieties of mice, but we really have been seeing it on the lightweight ones. So, no, I really love this thing. I think it's great.
Yeah, I would, like I said, I still have my Glorious, but I Glorious, would highly recommend anybody to at least give a lightweight mouse a try. Mm-hmm. As I always say, order on Amazon, you have 30-day return.
I've got some old mice I may just like drill holes in and make my own lightweight mouse. No,
yeah, not really. I mean, it's like, it's such a different feel. So definitely check out the review. And like I said, if you are looking to upgrade your mouse, check out one of these lightweight ones. You might think it's stupid. I thought they were stupid at the beginning, but I would completely change my mind. So that moves us on to Case Mod Friday, and we have a build from a familiar friend. We have the Thermaltake 350P DistroCase build from, or DistroCase Tai Chi build, because it's Tai Chi themed, from GGF Stewart over at GGF. This is just the typical GGF. He actually upgraded his studio as well, if you didn't notice, but I love this case. It's just, I mean, if you look at it's called a distro case because the entire case
makes sense.
Made like this.
I think the only thing I don't like about the case are the feet. If I remember correctly, they just looked a little cheap.
Yeah, I agree. They're just a little plasticky looking. Mm-hmm. Could you do acrylic feet, or would that not be?
I bet you could have them CNC'd out or something. Yeah.
Would they be strong enough, like, as this plastic?
I don't know.
Yeah. But again, this is like Tai Chi themed. Sorry if my dog is barking, if you guys can hear that. And the cool thing about the Tai Chi, it obviously has like the Tai Chi parts. So you have Tai Chi motherboard, Tai Chi graphics card. This is the new one. And then you have the Ada 64, like, he has a screen, Ada 64 Tai Chi themed skin for the display. Let me see if there's a better picture of the display. Here it is. So a lot of, you can buy like these screens, and then Ada 64 will show you stats, and then you can customize the screen. And what he's done is that he's actually made it like Tai Chi with the gears and stuff like that. I think that's really cool. But overall, it is a water cooling build. Of course, we expect that. And I think it's all Thermaltake parts as well. So that's pretty cool. All Thermaltake water cooling. And I do have to say, not many people are doing this circle block. And actually, I do like it. I don't know how you feel about the circle block.
I don't mind it. I know, like, Thermaltake obviously has it. Ryzen Tech, I think, has some that are like that. But yeah, there's a lot of just the straighter lines on blocks, right? My AlphaCool block is more straight. The Corsair blocks are kind of the, you know, angled looks to them. A lot of them are just squared off. I don't mind the circular look.
Yeah, I do like the build overall. Obviously, it fits that theme. The colors, everything matches.
And it's got a video too. I need to watch the video because that fluid looks like it's probably got some of the swirling look to it, right? Which I think will look really cool on that distro plate. It did when we saw this case at CES last year.
Yeah, so definitely go ahead and check that out. And our moving contest, even though I fully moved, is still going on because I still have stuff to give away to you guys. And who doesn't like free tech stuff? This week, we are giving away another headset. We're giving away the Cooler Master MH650, and all you have to do is enter the entry here. We do it through Gleam. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. These only run for 1 week. I know there's going to be at least one or two more weeks after this, but definitely get your entry in. Once you put in your name and your email, there's 11 other ways to enter to get an entry in after that. So definitely, like I said, this is their USB headset and it sounds really good. I was actually really surprised, especially the microphone quality of this headset, and it's not that expensive. So definitely go ahead and get your entry in. And like I said, every week until I run out of stuff to give away. So we'll just keep those on going there. And let's move over to news this week. And one exciting thing, exciting if you were looking to get a card like this and you could find it because there probably won't be a lot, is that somebody snapped this interesting picture of like a, you can see it's like a crate.
Shipping crate, yeah.
Yeah, shipping crate that you would see, you know, like in a warehouse or distribution center. And interestingly enough, on it says GeForce RTX 3080 Ti Ventus 3X 12GOC. Course MSI naming on that. And it doesn't look photoshopped just because you can see the reflection from the plastic packaging that it's in. Like none of this looks photoshopped, you know, at least.
Yeah, and let's see the tape there at the bottom that has the MSI logo on it. It's got, and the straps say MicroStar International. Like it looks pretty legit. That'd be a lot of work to fake this.
And we've been waiting for an RTX 3080 Ti for a while.
Yeah.
We thought we would get it at CES. That never happened. I always said since the beginning, there's too big of a gap between the 3080 and 3090. Just too big of a price gap. Yep. Too big of a, it's just... so basically, these are... I assume that this is in the United States, so I assume they're getting ready for launch, meaning that, you know, these are
should have an announcement pretty soon. Yeah,
we should have an announcement pretty soon. The 3080 Ti will max out the memory on the GA102. So instead of 10 gigabytes that the 3080 had, you're going to have 12. We don't know about clock speeds or anything like that yet. As I always said, $1,000 price point, even though you'll probably won't be able to find it.
Nope.
And you won't be able to find it at like
at the price.
Yeah, at the price. So it's probably going to be like $2,000 on the, you know. Ugh. Yeah. But
I know. I got to thinking about that last night. Just like, I really like a new graphics card, but I'm like... I just sat there getting frustrated.
I've seen some people on Reddit, they've gone through Best Buy, and like as soon as the Best Buy has it, they're able to snag it. I don't know how they're able to snag it, but they've been able to do it. So
cool.
I don't know. I've seen like multiple times this week people have posted, and it's like a it's like a founder's card too. It's like a 37 okay. founders. Like they were able to get it. So I don't know. There are websites and there's thing where you can like they're just tracking whenever stuff's available, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So talking about cards and mining cards, we have two releases or two. One's a leak, one's a release. Gigabyte did launch their mining card, their 30 CMP 30HX. It uses, we've seen this card, we saw leaks of this card, but it's officially launched now. Like I said, I don't know what to say. I honestly don't think miners are buying these cards. Maybe they are. I think like massive mining operations are buying these cards, but I don't think like, you know, some guy who has like maybe 30 cards is buying this because he can't resell them. The massive mining farm people are like,
they'll make enough to not have to worry about the resell or they'll write it off or, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know. So here's Gigabyte's card. Asus has a card. Asus's card, of course, has some RGB lighting. That's
I find that so ridiculous.
Yeah, like, well, why? I mean, they're using like their cheapest
Shroud.
Shroud, and I guess it just has this little sliver to be lighting,
I guess.
So
they're using their nicer fans though, it looks like.
I guess they with are connected the fans. So again, I don't see any of you guys buying this stuff because there's just no, like, as a personal, like, if you're a personal miner and you're like, I need, you know, some mining cards, one, I still don't even think these are going to be available. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to buy this, just like you're not able to buy any of the other cards, you know what I mean? I still
think they're going to be sold out.
Yeah, it's just
sold to somewhere else.
Yeah
farms.
I just don't see them being available, and again, as a personal miner, I don't see you buying them.
No,
because you can't resell them later.
Yeah, as soon as it's not profitable, it's the thing's a brick.
Yeah. Also, talking about graphics cards, and this is really cool. The new GPU world record has been set for graphics cards as far as operating speed. DeBauer, famous overclocker, who we actually had dinner with. You were there, weren't you?
Of course. Yeah,
you were there. Yeah. We had dinner with.
I had to point it out.
Yeah, was it this past?
It was CS 2020, yeah.
Yeah, CS 2020, who we had dinner with. He has overclocked the PowerColor RX 6900 XT Liquid Devil Ultimate card. This is the newer version. So there's newer versions, if you guys didn't know, of the 6900 XT that feature the Navi 20 XTXH, which is higher bend and it has better clock speeds. So all of these new 6900 XTs that you're seeing come out like this Liquid Devil Ultimate are based on this new chip. But the interesting thing, of course, this is a liquid cooled card by default, but he of course took all that off. Liquid nitrogen, it was negative 87 degrees Celsius, and he was able to get a clock speed of 3.225 gigahertz, which is insane. And it's the new world record. He also has a video on it. We have it in the article if you guys want to check it out. But that is some serious speed. Very cool. I always like overclocking stuff. I always like to see people push stuff way, way past the limits.
And I think that's way past limits, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really, really cool. So go ahead and check that out as well. We also had, I guess, the APU launch, which nobody really talked about. Or it was like when I was moving. So I don't know. I don't know how many people talked about it, but I don't think a lot of people talked about it. But we do have 5000 series APU launch. The thing that sucks about this is I think a lot of people would really take advantage of these. I reviewed some of the 3000 series ones, and they were good for like 1080p gaming, especially like esports titles. And I think these would be just as good. The thing that sucks about these, at least for right now, and I think it's because of the shortage, is that they're only available in OEM right now.
Oh, dang.
You know what I mean? So it's like, these actually for 1080p and below gaming, these are really good.
Yeah. And if that's all you needed or wanted, right? Like picking one of these up, you don't have to worry about getting a separate GPU. You just want to play your CSGO or League of Legends or something. Like that's what you want to do, but you just want something newer. These would be the perfect match. But if they're only available via an OEM,
they say
it kind of stinks. But
yeah, they say they're going to be available for DIY later in the year when like things open up more, I guess. But it is kind of sad. Real quick, you do have a Ryzen 7 5700G, a Ryzen 5 5600G, and a Ryzen 3 5300G. We have all the clock speeds and everything listed. Yeah, it is just kind of sad. They're all 45 to 65 watt TDP. Yeah, it is kind of sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking, I mean, I think you'll see some very competitively priced pre-builds with these, right?
Yeah.
So if that's something that you're into, and if you don't want to build your own PC, we actually have another story about pre-built, which I would highly recommend if you want to spend some money and get a really nice pre-built. We have a story, which I'll just jump to that story, even though it skips one story. But Corsair has finally updated their Corsair One, I reviewed like a year ago, right? Something like that.
Nah, I think it was probably like last summer, because we were talking to them at CES last year.
Yeah.
Wait, what year is...
No, not last year.
Yeah. You talked to them at CES 2020, and then they got it to you, I think, this summer.
Yeah, so the Corsair One, it has been updated, so you can pick Rocket Lake S processor, so the new, just like we talked about, the 11900K, or Zen 3, which would be Ryzen 5000 series, and now RTX 3080 graphics. So
awesome.
When I did the review, and then I've gotten comments since then, people are like, oh, I would love this with the 3000 series graphics card. You know what I mean? This is one awesome self-contained liquid cooled system, and it's super powerful. Like, I would love this if I didn't want to build my own PC, or didn't have the time, or didn't want to learn, or just wasn't my thing, but I wanted a PC. This is one that I would buy, because it, and the thing that's crazy about it, it's not loud. It's not really that loud.
Yep. It's like, it looks better than what you would get from a pre-built, like from Dell or a HP or whatever, right? That's going to game, but it also doesn't scream gamer. Like it looks high end. The lighting isn't like too flashy. It's subtle, super high quality, like aluminum components in there. Yeah, like you said, it's not loud. It's still liquid cooled. It's got a ton of great hardware in there. Like, these things are awesome.
And what's nice is that down the line, if you did want to maybe upgrade, you can upgrade the SSD. You can upgrade the NVMe SSD, as well as a lot of them come with like a normal SSD. You can also upgrade the memory too. You know what I mean? And technically you can upgrade the CPU if you wanted to pull it out. You know what I mean? I can't speak to some of the other ones, because I haven't reviewed those, but this, for something that's sleek and compact and you just get it and plug it in and there's no issues, this is a really good, piece of hardware. And the thing is, these might, like, for people who like, oh, I can't buy a graphics card, well, you can buy this with a 3080, definitely, if you're into that, definitely check that out. Now, if you're looking to get a Rocket Lake S processor, Silicon Lottery, if you don't know who they are, they basically find the highest bend CPUs and then they sell them to you at a premium, because they're pre-overclocked, they're like guaranteed to overclock to a certain speed, which, that's why it's called Silicon Lottery, is because when you buy a processor retail, even our review samples, when I'm doing a review, I'm talking to some other people, I'll talk to Andy at eTechnics, or I'll talk to Damon at PC Test Bench. I'll be like, oh, what are you getting on this processor? Like, are you getting 5.1 all core or 5 gigahertz all core? And like, their processor might only get to like 4.8, but I'm getting 5.1. Like, you never know. It's a lottery. You never know if when you're buying retail. So that's why Silicon Lottery exists. They now have Rocket Lake S processors in stock. Looking at the prices, like the i9-11900K guaranteed to for an all-core overclock of 5.1 gigahertz is $879. 5 gigahertz is $699. 4.9 is $619. You go down, you can on the lowest is their i5-11600K guaranteed 4.8 gigahertz starting at $249. So, you know, if you want to take the hard things out of overclocking and get a processor that will is guaranteed to overclock.
Yeah, you know, I like this service for those that don't want to have to mess with, you know, wondering, hey, can I actually get more out of this processor? Or is this like just one that's not going to make that, right? These folks have done that work for you and told you, hey, you're at a minimum going to get this speed off of it. Whereas if you're, you know, someone that's maybe a beginner overclocker or you just don't have as much experience, you're like, well, I could push it a little further. And then, you know, are you risking like damaging it or just shortening the lifespan or just not getting the full potential out of it? They've at least told you where you can get to. So I like this service.
Yeah, I do like the service as well.
And I don't think they charge too much for it either, right? Like, yeah, I think it's well worth it.
Crazy, crazy expensive. So, So yeah, so definitely check them out. We also have a new super fast NVMe SSD that was launched this past week. Our friends over at Patriot have launched their Viper VP4300 PCI Express Gen 4 SSD, speeds 7,400 megabytes a second read and 6,800 megabytes a second. Right, fast. I like this little sleek little...
It's nice. It's thin.
Yeah, it's thin and it's like, I like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it comes as it doesn't come on it, which I do like.
Yes. Right? So if your motherboard's got one, great. Yeah. But if it doesn't, use this. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like it's just one that you just put on. It doesn't look like it. Yeah. So it's
like it just sticks on.
Which is nice. I like that as well. So yeah, so it's gonna be available in one and two terabyte versions, 1 terabyte 224, 2 terabyte 449.
That seems not bad.
Yeah, so yeah, go ahead and if you are in Gen 4, that Gen 4 life.
I need to upgrade.
Gen 4 is just so fast. I love it. Yeah. Also this week, I know a lot of you don't care, but I do have to say these do look nice. Beyond that, and it's cool to see Apple go back to the colors. Because I remember growing up and I saw that. Was it was an iMac, was it not?
Yeah, with the colored monitor.
That you could see through?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest thing. So Apple had their events. They announced an iPad Pro. They also announced a new iMac with their M1 chip. And they have multiple colors. And this thing I wouldn't say it's a fully fledged PC. I a lot of people have said they put an iPad on a stand. it's only 11.5 millimeters thin. I mean, that's thin.
Yeah.
4.5K display. These do look nice. It's one thing Apple does is they make a sleek looking product. They start at $1,299. It is the specs aren't great for $1,299.
I was a hater on this look. Like I was like, ah, so gimmicky. But the more I see them, I kind of like it.
I mean, just how thin they are, and like that's a full PC. You just plug in a power cable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice, and especially like. We as enthusiasts don't think about like the family PC, right?
Right.
Like that's true. This is the family PC to a T. This is what's sitting in the living room.
What size is the screen?
24
inch.
Yeah, 24 inch. So I feel that's a good size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the M1 chip's gonna make it go really fast. Oh, a lot faster. That's probably what enabled them to go this really, really small. I mean, it's like that is just thin. It's just so thin. I know I would never get one, but you know, it's cool for a family.
It's cool. Thing. Yep.
Yeah. So the entry level M1 SoC, you get 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes SSD, $12.99. $14.99 gives you M1 and probably more RAM, I'm guessing, and some other stuff. But the Apple prices are always very, very expensive. But I like I said, I do think it's cool. It's like I said, it's the family PC, and I don't think there's a real market for that anymore. Remember, we used to see all of those. Lenovo had one, like those all-in-ones that was like a screen, but it was a PC. You don't see too many of those. There was the Surface.
The Surface, yeah, that was kind of an odd design.
Like we don't see that anymore. And I like that Apple's still like kind of continuing this family PC thing, because that's all you really want. You don't want a tower. You don't want to have to buy a monitor. You just want all-in-one that you can put in the living room and for the kids to be on or whatever, you know. So talking about something that I saw the story and I was instantly happy, but then I was like, could this be the big mistake that Yahoo made years ago when they never sold? So it looks like we talked about it before. Microsoft was in talks to buy Discord. It seemed to be like they were in advanced talks, which means more than likely Microsoft was going to buy Discord. And we talked about it and we said that, it would be nice, especially if you were like an Xbox user, the instant integration that we would assume they would do, you know, but it looks like those talks are done. They initially offered $12 billion.
Jeez.
And that was rejected. Then they offered 12, went from 10 to 12. And I guess that offer was rejected and they're just done with they're just not gonna do it. So the thing that my one friend said today, he goes, imagine walking away from $12 billion.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know,
it's a lot of money. Well, and the 2 million between 10 and 2 or 10 and 12 is a lot of money, right? $2 billion, raising it that much is a lot of money.
So it could be like that. They could be like Yahoo. Who was going to buy? I forget who was going to buy Yahoo back in the day. They never sold. Then Yahoo basically kind of just went into nothingness, really, you know, but
they're still around, but
yeah, but they could have sold at a very high price. Oh, yeah. And they did. They, you know, this could be the same. I don't know how you could mess up Discord, but you could, I guess, you know,
oh, sure. So
we could see, and it wasn't, didn't somebody, wasn't there something like with Twitter or Twitch or one of them that they could have sold and they never did? Or
I mean, Twitch, you know, or obviously did.
No, somebody offered to buy. I forget. I don't remember. That was a more recent one. But we see these and we're like, oh, you know, then years later, they're like, oh, they should have sold, you know, because the company went to shit or whatever. So I guess good news, bad news. I don't know. I guess we'll see in the future. It looks like also that Discord will be, they're preparing for an IPO. So that's something if you're into the stocks game, you might want to follow that. And then finally,
speaking of stonks.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting things, Newegg, who I'm sure a lot of you buy your hardware from.
Yeah.
They're starting to accept Dogecoin, which is, if you don't or aren't familiar with Dogecoin, it's basically a joke cryptocurrency that was made as a joke. And for some reason, Elon Musk keeps on tweeting about it. And, you know, I bought it as a joke. A lot of us bought it as a joke, and it's been going up significantly in price and making us money. So much so that I guess Newegg is accepting it.
I mean, that seems so risky because last week it was at 40 cents a coin, right around. Yeah. I think it peaked at that and it's at 30 cents a coin. So it lost 25% of its value.
Yeah.
In less than a week. So I think this is a bad idea.
I would agree. I don't know if it was just like a thing to get PR, or they're like instantly taking that money and like instantly and
turn it into something else.
Yeah, turn into cash, right?
Yeah.
Instantly. So I don't know. But that is the news this week, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, I mean, what? Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you have people that, you know, bought in at like a fraction of a penny and they had thousands of them, right? And then they're like, hey, I've got all this Dogecoin, I can buy gear. And then Newegg, yeah, like you said, takes it and turns it into cash. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, coming up next week, I will at least have one review for you guys, and it's of a Z590 motherboard. I'll be taking a look at Gigabyte's Z590 Aorus Ultra. Very, very nice motherboard. Typical Aorus design. I like how they're keeping the same design generation over generation. Some new features, 10 gig LAN on this, Wi-Fi 6E on this. You're also getting USB 3.2 Gen 2. It's all that comes from the chipset, as I said. Very nice looking motherboard.
Beefy VRM cooling, looks like.
Oh, yeah. There's some. Why is this website is just not
kind of hopping around? And I like that, again, I like that cooling solution on the power delivery, just instead of being the chunky solid pieces,
these are
actually the fins and dissipate heat efficiently.
Yeah, this is their fin, I forget what it's called, but yeah, they kind of started that I think maybe two or three generations ago, and it makes sense because you're giving more surface area, because these are actually fins. It's not one big heat sink. So you have more surface area that you can dissipate easier. And it just looks sleek and solid. Like, I like it. And it does a good job at cooling as well. So lots of good stuff on this motherboard. I will, of course, have that all for you guys next week. And we are here at the end of the podcast where we talk about any tech-related things. I do have one tech-related thing, which I didn't talk about. And that's
I got a couple.
You want to go first? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You.
Well, since I moved, I had to get new internet, and I got fiber, which I've been testing. Over Wi-Fi, I get about right around, I would say, 700 down, 650 up. Like over
pretty good.
Wi-Fi. But when I directly connect into it, I get about 900 and 900, which is pretty sweet.
This is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very fast, and it's through AT&T. So when I moved here, it was Cox or AT&T. AT&T is the only one that has fiber. Cox is your typical cable, you know, like cable internet. So I went with the fiber because it's obviously fiber. So I'm pretty happy with that so far. No issues with the internet. So
I bet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So what about what are your things this week?
Let's see here. I bought a couple things last week. We didn't talk about them on the podcast. I bought a new router, which is sitting next to me. I haven't had a chance to power it up. So I bought a Unify Dream Machine Pro.
That sounds like something out of the early 2000, like that. When you think of that, it makes me think of like a tower computer. Well, I've never heard of this.
It's a 19-inch rack mount. It's got a little touchscreen display. It does a lot of things. It is your network controller, firewall, controls like if you have Ubiquiti wireless access points, it does all that controlling. It can do Ubiquiti surveillance recording and stuff. So it's got on the front there's a drive slot. You can put a drive in there to record. It's got a switch built into it. It has 10 gig, two 10 gig SFP connections. So I'm excited to get that in. I use Unify access points now, and I need to get some AX points, but then I also bought one of their Unify Protect cameras.
Oh, nice.
And this is like a $30 camera. So kind of in that Wise price range.
Yeah.
A little better camera. So I'm excited to check that out. And then I bought a Ducky. I know.
Fine.
Got myself like a legit mechanical keyboard.
Oh, wait, that's a keyboard?
Yeah, I bought the Frozen Llama. I showed you that, didn't I?
No.
I linked it to you.
Take it out. Let's see it.
All right.
I'll make it big here.
I know you made the video big. That's the other issue, is my video looks a little off, and that's due to a whole nother issue. I haven't really opened this up. All right. There we are.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
60%.
You got to get a coiled cable and everything for it now.
I know I do, but these are... Oh, you're not going to be able to hear it because I've got the RTX voice on. But so this is the Mecha Mini 2 from Ducky. This is the model with the red, the silent reds on it. Oh, nice. So they make a little bit of noise. They're not as clacky as a blue. Super hefty.
Yeah.
This thing's pretty
even solid. Even though it's plastic.
No, right? It's aluminum.
Oh, that one's aluminum? Okay.
Yeah, this one's aluminum.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at this thing.
You got all kinds of goodies over there.
Yeah. And then I'm using my laptop today. Oh, and it just went. Just noticed my video.
Your video's still there. Gray. I still see it.
No, I know. I need to the color on my, I'm using my laptop tonight instead of my desktop. And at 8 o'clock, and I don't know why it didn't do it earlier. Maybe it did and I didn't notice it. I have it set to turn on nightlight, so it takes away some of the blue. So everything looks kind of weird. But last night I was playing. What was I doing? No, I wasn't playing anything. I had played yesterday some Fortnite with my son. Then I came back down to do some stuff down here. And I was just admiring my build, right? Like every now and then you got to look at your PC and be like, oh, yeah, this thing looks awesome. And I noticed some like small bubbles in the reservoir. And every now and then you'll get some that, like, I don't know, air gets trapped somewhere and some bubbles will come through. But this was like more than usual. And I get a little closer look and there's water like pooled around the bottom of the reservoir sitting on top of the pump housing. And it's outside of the loop. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's leaking. Thankfully, like the water level didn't look real low. You know, it's not like it had leaked all the contents. So I shut everything off. And yeah, my reservoir, the cylinder on the reservoir had cracked. Along the threads in about 5 or 6 places, which is weird because I've been using this setup for months with no problems. I hadn't seen any cracks, and where the crack was is like you could see it right there looking in the case. So I don't know if it just happened, was happening over time, and I don't know. So I bought a replacement one online last night. It actually shipped out today, so I should have it in the next couple of days because I paid for quicker shipping, but reached out to our buddy Dave at Alpha Cool, and they just happened to release a new reservoir today, right? They just announced it, and he's like, oh, well, you know, let's have you take a look at that one too. So I've got the replacement tube coming for this, and then we'll be taking a look at a newer reservoir as well. Nice. So
very cool.
It's just so weird that it like happened last night, like there's a new one, but yeah. Oh, I was so freaked out for a minute. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
well, that's what I was telling you last night when you were telling me. I was like, this is why I don't water cool, because I would dread to see water in my running system.
Uh-huh.
And just
if it like sprays out, you know, a fitting goes bad or an O-ring, like for some reason. Yeah.
So but yeah, you're buying all this cool tech stuff. I've been buying all this stuff for my apartment. It's just like one thing after another.
That's fun too though, like when you're an adult.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, just buying new stuff, new kitchen stuff, and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
Shinny says he'll be online in a few, so we'll be
nice. Yeah, so we are going to be gaming. I will be streaming this time. I made sure everything's set up, so we should be good for streaming. So head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be over there playing some Apex. There's a special event going on, I forget what it's called, but we'll be doing that, and we'll see how Ryan plays on his laptop. But yeah,
I played a little bit last night. It was fine.
All right. He says that now, and then I'll be like, I can't do this, and then I'll just quit. So we will go ahead and be on over there. Thanks, everybody, for, of course, hanging out here in the live stream. If you're listening, we appreciate you listening as well, and we will see you guys next week.